verse 26 together. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Fun fact, Joy to the World was not written originally as a Christmas song. It was actually written about the second coming of Jesus, him coming to this earth to rule and reign during the millennial reign of Christ. But traditionally, it has become known as a Christmas carol, but it is not written that way. It is not written for that purpose. It is speaking of the millennial reign of Christ, not Jesus coming as a baby, but Jesus coming as a king. And that is the meaning of that song. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Notice what the Bible says here. This is our Wednesday in the Word. And let me say this, as we come to the conclusion of 2022 and our Wednesday in the Word, I hope that they have been a blessing and a help to you. I'm really looking forward to our Wednesdays in the Word in 2023. Brother Mar and I sat down for a long time, and we went through the various topics and such for 2023, and I'm looking forward to another year of Bible study and spiritual growth in our life. Luke chapter 1, we're looking at the work of God in the Nativity. Look what the Bible says, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful for the opportunity we have to be a part of this service tonight. And we're grateful to be able to study your word and to learn from it, Lord. And I pray that as we consider your work in the Nativity, as we consider your eternal work to save our souls, I pray, Lord, that we would be encouraged tonight, that we would be blessed to understand that you, Lord, have moved heaven and earth so that you could come as a baby, so that you could come and die for our sins. And Lord, we are a grateful people. I pray, Lord, you would work in our hearts and in our lives. Encourage us, I pray. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone today, as we consider today, halfway into December, and Christmas is just around the corner, and everyone is busy getting involved in the Christmas celebrations, the Christmas preparations, that whatever it may be, whether it's buying Christmas trees or buying Christmas lights or buying that special gift for that someone. I heard the story of a guy who bought his wife a beautiful diamond ring for Christmas. And after hearing about this incredible gift, a friend of his said, I thought that she wanted one of those sporty four-wheel drive vehicles. And he said, she did. But you can't find a fake Jeep. But you can find a fake ring. As we think about Christmas and all that happens in Christmas, we remember today that Christmas, Jesus, is the reason for the season. And every day, really, if you think about it, every day is Christmas for us. I mean, we celebrate the fact that Jesus came and that Jesus came to die for us. Christmas for the Christian is every day, and we're grateful for it, the wonderful opportunity. But I think that it's also wonderful that we have a time, a season, that we can focus on the gift of God to mankind. You know, I think for a moment of the children of Israel and how Israel had created days to remember God's work. And specifically, I think of the Passover day. The Passover day was for the Jews to remember when God had passed over them in Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And this was a day to remember the wonderful work of God. And I think Christmas is also a wonderful time that we can remember the wonderful work of God. But fundamentally, we remember that Christmas is about Jesus coming to this earth, seeing our need, coming as a baby, humbling himself, but also wrapped in swaddling clothes, coming to die for us. That was the work of God so that we could have eternal life. And so Christmas is all about Jesus. But as we come to this passage of Scripture, we find a different perspective of Christmas. We see a different angle of Christmas. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that God favored Mary. God had blessed this woman, Mary. And through the life of Mary and through the work of God in her life, we see that the whole world would be blessed, that Jesus would be born and the promised Savior, the Redeemer of mankind would come. And this promise was given to us all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, humanity had sinned against Almighty God, plunged all of humanity into sin. Because of Adam, we all die. And at that very moment, this did not catch God Almighty by surprise. God had a work. God had a plan. And he says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." From the seed of the woman would come the Messiah. And the Messiah would come and destroy the very work of the devil. Jesus would defeat the devil by his work on the cross. And so Israel waited for the Messiah. They waited for the promised one. And as we think about the simplicity of Christmas, and that's really what I want us to focus on this evening as we think about the work of God in the Nativity, I want us to think about the simplicity of what Christmas is. Christmas is about a Savior coming to this earth, the promised one, the Savior, the Messiah, the sent one, the anointed one. And so I want us to think about in this commentary, in this context here of Luke chapter 1, how this all came to pass and how God used a young woman in a mighty way to change the world. Number one, I want us to think about a heavenly messenger. A heavenly messenger. Now notice what the scripture says here in verse 26. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now Mary was a common woman from Nazareth. And suddenly in her presence, and you could, you know, the missionary on Sunday morning made the note mention that he likes to put himself in Bible stories. And you could put yourself in this. If you could imagine, all of a sudden, there is an angel before you. An angel is in your presence. And we see in this passage of Scripture, Gabriel's appointment in the sixth month from the time of Elizabeth's pregnancy, we see that God had a timetable. God had a plan. And God always works according to his timetable. Not my timetable, and not your timetable, his timetable. God has a plan. God has a purpose. 4,000 years, 4,000 years had transpired in world history. And God had on his calendar marked the birth of the Messiah. The Bible says it this way in Galatians 4 and verse 4. And when, look at this, Galatians 4 verse 4, and when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, in this passage of Scripture, Gabriel's appointment. God sent Gabriel to Mary. Now notice, I think it's important for us tonight as we study this, notice the place. Now Gabriel went to a specific place to see a specific person. Gabriel went to Nazareth, a very common place. Now, there was nothing special about Nazareth. In John chapter 1, verse 46, the Bible says, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? The reality is that there were those who questioned that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, wholly on the fact that he was from Nazareth. Nazareth wasn't a special place. And yet we find that Gabriel went to Nazareth to find Mary because God had an appointment with her. The Bible says in the Word of God that he came to this young woman. God had favor upon her. You know, we see this, by the way, in the Bible all the time as we think of, you know, common Nazareth or lowly Bethlehem. We see the grace of God on display within the Nativity. I mentioned this last Wednesday. Throughout the entire Nativity story, God's grace is on display. So we see the place, but also we see the plan, verse 26. The Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, look at this, was sent from God. I love that. Was sent from God. God sent Gabriel to Mary according to his plan. Now, this appointment caught Mary by surprise, but it did not catch God by surprise. This was God's work. This was God's plan. In fact, the Bible says in this scripture here that God sent, that Gabriel was sent from God. The word there, sent, is where we get our word apostle. It means the sent one, and Gabriel was the sent one, sent from God, to fulfill God's purpose, to fulfill God's plan. We see also, not only in this passage of Scripture, do we notice Gabriel's appointment, but we also notice Gabriel's applicant. The Bible says in verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, Mary was indeed a chosen maiden. God had chosen Mary for a specific task. And we notice why this was the case. The Bible gives us a little bit of insight into Mary's life. We see that Mary was a pure maiden. The Bible tells us several ways and several times that Mary was pure. In verse 34, and the Bible says, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Prophetically speaking, in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now this, in Isaiah chapter 7, this had present meaning in Ahaz's life, but also it had prophetic meaning in the birth of Jesus. And the Bible says that a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And so the Bible teaches us that Mary was a pure woman. But also the Bible says that Mary was an espoused maiden. Now this is very significant. And we have to understand some Jewish tradition and history to understand why this is important. Because the word here, espoused here, is really, in our common language, would be the same idea of an engagement today, but had greater significance. To be espoused in the Jewish time was a holy agreement that Mary and Joseph have made to each other without any physical union. They had committed themselves for each other. They were espoused to be married. And God's messenger here, Gabriel, is delivering this important message that God's wonderful plan would be fulfilled in Mary's life. And so we see here this messenger that comes to Mary. But notice also we see an honored maiden, number two. Verse 28, the Bible says, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Now again, we see a little bit about Mary's life. We see Mary's character. The Bible says that Mary was highly favored. For us to have God to say that about us would be an incredible privilege. For us to be highly favored of God would be just an incredible compliment. And I want to remind you today that in this age of grace, if you know Jesus as your Savior, then you can say today that you are highly favored of God and God is with you. That's a blessing. I mean, you're in the same place as Mary is, all right? God is with you and you are highly favored because of the work of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. But here the angel comes to Mary and says, Hail, or rejoice, Mary. Rejoice, Mary. I have good news for you. I got something important to say. Now, let me break this down to you. Biblically, the Bible teaches us that Mary was a sinner. Mary was a sinner and she needed to be saved the same way that you and I need to be saved. Listen, we don't pray to Mary. Mary does not mediate on our behalf between God. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible makes it very clear, and you can write it down in your Bible. It's a wonderful scripture, 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is only one way that we can approach God. There's only one that whom we can pray to God, and that is Jesus Christ. He is our mediator, all right? And we don't worship Mary or statues of Mary. Mary can do nothing for us. She needed to be saved like everyone else. But the Bible does say that Mary is to be highly respected. Mary here in this passage of Scripture was greatly used of God, and she is a great example. She was a godly woman. She was a woman who loved the Lord and wanted to follow God. And the Bible says that she was favored of God. Now, we think about Mary's character. We also have to look at verse 29 and think of Mary's concern. Because in verse 29, the Bible says, "And when she saw him," this is the angel Gabriel. When Mary saw Gabriel, the Bible says she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation or welcome that this should be. Why are you here? You know, and she's thinking in her mind. She was perplexed about this news. She was trying to work out in her mind why this angel was here, why this angel was before her. And by the way, that is the work of grace. None of us deserve God's favor. None of us deserve to be used of God in any way. And if God uses us, it is because of his grace in our life. And Mary's saying in her mind, why are you here? Why are you going to use me? Who am I? She was troubled. She was perplexed of this news. And she cast in her mind. That's a wonderful expression or picture in our Bible. It cast into her mind was she was trying to figure out. She was working in her mind why these things were happening. She was trying to put the pieces together in her mind. She was amazed that God would use her. And we notice in verse 30 here of Luke chapter 1, we notice the response here of the angel Gabriel. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." I think that, first of all, when we receive unexpected news, and there will come times in our life where we will receive unexpected news, news that we have to try to figure out in our mind, try to work it out in our mind, try to put those pieces together. And yet, what is the message of Gabriel in this scripture is simply, don't fear, trust God. God has given you grace. You are highly favored of God. God has a purpose for your life. God has a work in your life. And we need to lean and learn to lean on God in our life. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And this is what Gabriel is telling Mary. Don't spend your time worrying about what could happen or what's happening in your life. Just trust in the Lord and understand that God has a purpose and God has a plan and God has a work. Mary, just trust God's plan for your life. And this was his message. This was God's work in Mary's life. But we also see, thirdly, a hopeful message. A hopeful message. Now, Gabriel obviously did not come to scare Mary. That was not his intent. And that's never God's intent. Gabriel came with a favored message. And this was a message of blessing. The Bible says in verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." So Gabriel comes to Mary with a message, with God's plan. And this plan involved, this message involved, a message of the prophesied Messiah. Now, Mary knew about the coming of the Messiah. Mary knew that one day God would send his son, and that his name would be above every name. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." So the message of the prophets was of a coming Messiah. And Mary understood that a Messiah would come, that a Savior would come. But Mary didn't understand why she would be a part of it, why God would use her in such an incredible way. The prophets wrote about it in Isaiah and Daniel and Micah. God had been prophesying of the coming of the Messiah. And what an incredible thought. What an incredible thought that Mary would be a part of this. She was highly favored of God. I heard the story of a woman who was in the Christmas rush, and she was so busy, she wanted to send cards to all of her friends and her family. And so she went to the store, and it was so busy that she just grabbed the first Christmas cards that she could find. And she rushed home, and she signed them all, and she stuffed them into envelopes, and she sent them in the mail. And days later, when she was relaxing, she noticed that she had one card left over. And so she grabbed that card and she opened it up and she decided to read it. And that card read this: "This card is just to say that a gift is on its way." Now, I'm not sure if they ever received their gift, but we received ours. We received ours. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the hosts of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This prophesied truth that a Savior would come, a Messiah would come. Mary was a part of God's promise to humanity. But not only was this a message of a prophesied truth, but this was also a powerful message. You see, Mary looked at where she was in her life. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, she said, how in the world could this ever be, seeing I know not a man? And this indeed is an honest question. This is a good question. Mary just didn't understand how it was all going to work out, how it was all going to come to pass. How in the world could I have a child? I have never known a man. And the Bible says in verse 35, Gabriel the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall be upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. We see the process is a mystery. The baby will not be born by the natural procedure of men. And this, by the way, is a fundamental doctrine in the Bible of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You say, why is the virgin birth so important? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why it's attacked in our secular world today. Because the Bible says, for by one man sin entered into the world. And for Jesus to be born by the natural process would mean that he was born into this world a sinner. But Jesus knew no sin. He was not born of a man. The Bible says that Mary knew not a man, that the work of God, that the birth of Jesus was a miracle. It was God's work. And the process would be a miraculous birth. That the seed of the woman, the seed in the woman would be of God. That this was not the natural procedure of men. But we see the performance was a miracle. This was not science. This was not some medical discovery. No, this was performed by God. And you know, I think it's important for us to know our Bible. And I know a lot of Christians get caught up in apologetics. And always trying to figure out and always trying to argue with people. But within the idea of apologetics, there's one important truth that sometimes if we get caught up in it, we can miss it. And that is the miraculous. Because the miraculous cannot be explained. The miraculous is not science and it's not manufactured. The miraculous is only performed by God. And no matter how we try to argue with the critics of the Bible and within apologetics, trying to help people to understand within creation and within God's work, at the end of the day, the miraculous cannot be explained. It is the work of God. And here Gabriel said, Mary, you don't have to worry about anything, and you're never going to understand it, because what's going to happen is God's going to show up and God's going to do the work. And this is going to be a miracle. A miracle. You see, the power was by the mighty hand of God. The Bible says, and all the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And I love what the Bible says in verse 37 for all the critics. How can this be? How does this work? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. This is God's work. And so within the simplicity of Christmas tonight, and as we consider the work of the Nativity, and we think about the Christmas rush and people busy going this place and that place, I want us to think about the simplicity of Christmas, that God sent his only begotten Son into this world, the Lord Jesus, to be born in Bethlehem, to live a sinless life, to die as a criminal. He who knew no sin would become our sin, so that we could place upon us his very righteousness, and that we can be highly favored of God. And that is what Christmas is all about. Let's think about the simplicity of Christmas real quick. I made an acrostics. Simply Christmas. Simply. S, salvation. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He died for your sins. He gave his life so that we could know what life is all about. I is for imparting. Christmas is about giving. And many people, even in the secular world, are giving gifts and giving to those in need. As God gave heaven's best to us, remember that Christmas is about God imparting to us. God wants to give. And God wants us to give. But God wants us to give more than just physical gifts. He wants us to give forgiveness. He wants us to give friendships. He wants us to give our life to him in surrender. He wants us to give a sweet spirit to those that we meet each and every day. I think of M for manger. Manger, the manger pictures humility. And we often think that we deserve something or that we are owed something. But the reality is we deserve the cross, and he took it for us. Jesus showed us how we ought to live, and by putting others first, humbling ourselves. Humility, the manger. I think of the P stands for peace. God sent Jesus to give peace in our hearts. We sing about it. Often we sing about true peace and God's peace. But this peace that God offers is a peace that you won't find in this world. My peace, Jesus said, I give unto you. Not what the world giveth, give I unto you. We don't have to fear because he has overcome the world. And then L, I think, is love. God so loved the world that he gave. And true love is always expressed. God expressed his love to us by sacrificing his only son. And then why is you? He gave himself for you because he loves you. He humbled himself and he came to a sinful world. He became associated with a sinful race. He who knew no sin, because of us, because of you, because he loves us, and he wants us to have a relationship with him. This is simply Christmas. Christmas is personal. It's about a Savior who loves us. And I hope today, among all of the hustle and the bustle and all the traffic and all the things that have to be done, I hope you have a simple Christmas this year. And I hope you remember what it's all about. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And we're grateful for the opportunity that we